In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of the Word for Life. My name's Pastor Ken, and I'm with Jack Gardner, who is in studio with me as we begin really starting to delve in now into the life of Joshua. And Joshua, we don't read just about Joshua beginning in Joshua 1. All the way back in the Pentateuch, as the people are traveling through the wilderness, you have Joshua there as the understudy of Moses. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture, you understand that Moses was critical in leading the people out of the land of Egypt. And the word we often hear is the word Exodus. Well, the second book of the Bible is entitled Exodus. That word means simply exit. They left Egypt, and God had to work very severely in the life of Pharaoh in order to allow the people of Israel to go and to worship the Lord. And eventually, if you remember from that 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, and you had the Israelites that were commanded by God to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of the lamb that was slain. And the death angel passing over would pass over when he saw the blood. Obviously, the Egyptians, many of them did not do that, including Pharaoh, and the firstborn of animal or person, their life was taken. And that was the time when Pharaoh basically said, get out and move. And they had to move quickly. And so Moses is going to be the one that's going to guide them and to lead them into the land that had become known as the land of promise. And as I mentioned in the last broadcast, that should really have only been about an 11-day journey from Egypt to the land of promise, but a lot of things happened along the way. And can I just say, for them, it was because of their sin and unbelief that they're going to travel in the wilderness for 40 years. And unfortunately, Jack, for many of us today, the same thing, because of our sin and our unbelief, then we go through some difficult times. I mean, I tell young people all the time, you can choose your sin, but you never can choose your consequences.
That's so true.
You don't know exactly, God would be willing, yes, to forgive, but I've told them often, if I'm a believer and I'm not walking with the Lord and I'm out and I get involved in alcohol and maybe I'm driving and we have a terrible wreck and my buddies, one of them dies, one of them loses a right arm. I lose my left leg, let's say. As a believer, I can come back and ask forgiveness. And the beauty of 1 John 1:9 still stands true. As a Christian, when I come back to restore my fellowship with the Lord, and I confess my sin, agree with God what I've done, and commit it to Him, and ask His forgiveness, we're told He's faithful and just. There's a legal aspect. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have that restored fellowship, but we still are suffering the consequences, and Israel suffered those consequences.
It just reminds me of David, too, after his sins. One of the first things the Lord said is, I forgive you. Yet, it did not take away the consequences that he would then have to endure. And it's so true. And we often, being fallen sinners, extend so many things that the Lord could shorten because of our disobedience.
Yeah, exactly. And, did David suffer with a dysfunctional family after all of that? That's a great point there.
I was thinking about the word, almost the word dysfunction the other day, and really it's just sin. That's obvious to many, but that's really what it is. And we're all sinners, and you see those symptoms in every family at some point or at some degree.
And, my dad's favorite passage of scripture for me growing up was Numbers 32:23, which says, be sure your sins will find you out. And he said, Ken, that's exactly how I pray. I'm praying for you. And this is when I was in high school and, I might want to go do something. He said, just so you know, I'm asking God to show me what your sin. If you go out and you're disobedient or you're sinful, it'll come back. And I'm asking God to show that to me. It seemed like that was my theme verse growing up. So Moses leads them out. They are excited to leave Egypt, but then they run into all these issues and the trouble that comes about. And yet Joshua is right there. But what makes the book of Joshua so overwhelmingly important, Jack, is it really stands as a bridge, a link between the Pentateuch, that's the first five books, we know it as the Torah, the writings of Moses, and the rest of Scripture. And it was crucial for understanding the unity of those first five books has with all that follows it, including in the New Testament. I mean, it's timeless, it's ageless, it's the principles there that we can even pick up in the Old Testament, they're priceless for us. And people are, who is this Joshua? Well, the story of Joshua, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't begin with the book, but it's in several passages there in the Pentateuch. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 27 to 30, as we begin the study of Joshua, and really it was going to be the journey of faith for Joshua. And it seemed like there was always a crisis that came along, and Joshua is going to have to say, no, this is exactly what I know God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. This journey of faith, you know, being able to overcome the crisis of belief. And over again, this journey, Joshua is going to be confronted with the crisis. But I want you to notice a passage in Numbers 14, 27 to 30, where there's only two men that are going to be qualified to even lead the people into the promised land. And Jack, why don't you read that passage, Numbers 14, 27 to 34.
Sure. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in.
And so Caleb and Joshua are going to be two men that have really studied at the feet of Moses, and they have been chosen to go into the land of Canaan, this promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, to spy it out. And they come back with this great report. It's a land truly that flows with milk and honey. But there are 10 spies that come back with, no, the giants are too big. You can look at that in Numbers chapter 13, the end of Numbers 13 into chapter 14, where God really spells out all of that. And he gives us the details of what takes place there. But what happens is the people basically rebel. They take the message of the report of the 10 spies and rebel against God. And Jack, you know, one thing that God does not take lightly is when we deliberately rebel against him. I mean, rebellion against God is no light thing. Mm-hmm. If you remember, Samuel, this is what got Saul, when he was king of Israel, the first king of Israel, got him in trouble when he, in 1 Corinthians 15, did not follow the guidelines left by Samuel. He starts going into doing things that he was not supposed to do there in 1 Samuel 15. Mm-hmm. And Samuel tells him, and he's telling us, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Hmm. I don't know of anything worse than a believer who's going to bow their neck and become stubborn and unwilling to follow what God wants them to do. Mm-hmm. I remember we believed, I grew up with a father who was a military, very strong disciplinarian. So when I did wrong, he bent me over and wore my Western Hemisphere out, or someone might say my Southern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. I remember in the discipline of one of our sons, the hardness and the stubbornness to, hey, you need to make this right. No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, bend over. No, I'm not going to do it. Bend over. The boys today laugh that, hey, he was the one who won the award for the most spankings at one time. And I think sometimes, you know, Lord, in my own life, even when I was saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go into that part of ministry. I don't want to be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, Jack, I'm just thankful that God didn't take his heavenly baseball bat out and just clobber me in the head.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about how many times we've actually deserve that and more, yeah, and his mercy that he has shown upon us.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeremiah records for us that his mercy and his compassions are new every morning for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that God is slow to wrath, that he is a God of mercy. And but yet the Lord had to deal with the children of Israel, just like he has to deal with us when we want to bow our neck and say, you know, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to follow Scripture. I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. And Israel tested God 10 different times by complaining, by griping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me ask you, Jack, you've worked in the workplace for a while.
Hmm.
Is griping and complaining something that can catch fire in a work environment?
Oh, I think without question, you know, in the times of my life where I've seen myself do it, or I've, you know, and then or been convicted of it, and then seen somebody else do it, and seeing how it can feed off one another and the dissension that it can cause. Yeah, I think it's literally like a disease that just then tsunamis its way, you know, right through the place.
Yeah. And, you know, you see this, the discipline when they, where God comes down on them, on their unwillingness to want to pursue, to go into the promised land. Interesting passage of scripture. It was right there at the Red Sea, before the crossing of the Red Sea. Of course, that's what Moses, was known for. And, you know, people that saw the Ten Commandments and Charleston Heston playing Moses, you know, they remember the parting of the Red Sea. Jack, why don't you just read that passage for us here in Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, and we'll close on this morning.
Sure. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness."
You know, I thought often, Moses, did he ever get discouraged?
Oh, yes.
Well, a little tip. As soon as you get a group of people that can come together and they get large enough, you'll start to hear complaining and griping.
Inherently.
Inherently.
Yep.
And as you're off maybe on your way to work today, and maybe that is the environment you find yourself in, as a believer, can I say, don't participate in that. Don't become one of those who's going to be griping and complaining. I mean, I don't care if you're starting a Bible class or you're starting to teach and the group gets a little bit bigger. Sooner or later, you'll start hearing grumbling. You see it in the church and you see it at work. You see it in any institution that God has established. And he's only established three: the family, government, and the church. And the enemy has attacked all three. And we see really all three on fire today. And one key aspect is the griping and complaining spirit. Well, we'll pick up again next session on the life of Joshua, as it's going to get into God giving him the direction, "You're going to lead my people into Israel." Thank you for joining Jack and I today on The Word for Life, and trust that you have a wonderful day, and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on The Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.